Good afternoon. This is Division 3 of the Court of Appeals. And seated with me, to my left and to my right, are two of my distinguished senior colleagues who are joining us today, Judge Plank and Judge Criswell. Welcome to you all. We have one case today set for argument, People versus Benzie. And I see that counsel are seated at the table and I presume ready to argue. Is that correct? And you're both familiar with the rules of the court, so I don't believe I need to go over those with you, do I? I'm happy to do so if you would like. Okay. Then, for the benefit of everyone else in the courtroom, please remember to turn off any cell phones that you may have or any pagers. And with that, then I think we're ready for argument.
May it please the court. My name is Mary Bullard, registration number 39382, and I represent the defendant, Mr. Patrick Benzie. The issue presented in this case is for the multiple reasons that I discussed in my
brief. I'm going to ask, you might, could you speak up, please?
Sure. Maybe if I pull this a little closer.
Thank you.
These microphones merely record. They don't amplify.
Okay. Well, then, thanks. In any case, the issue presented in this case is that for the multiple reasons that I discussed in my brief, the prosecution failed to prove every element of the crime of second-degree burglary. Consequently, the standard of review is de novo. Today, I'd like to focus on the issue of whether the prosecution met its burden of proving the element of a building or an occupied structure being the place where the unlawful entry occurred. If your honors have questions regarding any other issues, of course, I'd be happy to address those, but I'd like to leave 5 minutes for my rebuttal, or as much of that as I have left. Let me summarize. Okay, great. Let me summarize the facts of the case briefly. Shortly after 11 p.m. on the night of June 3rd, 2007, a Sunday night, Deputy Hershey noticed a truck parked in a dirt parking lot in between Kuchar Electrical and Ford's Roll-Off Service in Brighton. After running a license plate check on the truck, Deputy Hershey determined that it belonged to Mr. Benzie. Beyond the truck, behind a stand of trees, Deputy Hershey discovered 22 spools of electrical copper wire lying on the ground. Within the main commercial yard of Kuchar Electrical, the business in question, another smaller fenced inner storage yard had been built out from the Kuchar Electrical building. The copper wire that was found in the dirt parking lot had previously been stored within this smaller inner storage yard. This inner storage yard measured approximately 40 by 50 feet and was not roofed, but open to the elements.
Counsel, let me ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read the record. There's obviously a description of this structure. It is said that it was attached to a structure that is concededly a building.
Yes.
How is it attached? Does the record tell
us? Well, it's a fence, and like most fences, they're built out from houses much of the time. Sometimes they're freestanding, but in this case.
What type of fence was this? Was it something you could see through, or was it wooden?
No, it was kind of, I guess I would call it more like a privacy fence. Like many privacy fences, you know, you can't see through it. This was, in fact, constructed out of metal, and it was a tall fence. It was approximately 14 to 15 feet tall, and it had a large gate, which connected the inner storage yard with the remainder of the commercial lot. And it could be entered either through this large gate from the commercial yard or through the door to the main commercial building, or perhaps by, you know, climbing the fence. The owner of the building, Mr. Kuchar, believed that he had locked the gate between the inner fence yard and the outer commercial yard on the night of June 1st, 2007. However, late in the evening on June 3rd, 2007, the gate was found open and the lock unsecured. There is no indication in the record that Kuchar Electrical Building itself had been entered or that items had been taken from within its confines. If you look at the record, it is the gate between the inner fenced yard and the outer commercial yard, which was found open and unlocked, and not the door between the building and the inner fenced yard. And there is some confusion in the record with that because of the fact that the prosecution referred to the gate as a door and witnesses referred to it as a gate or a door, depending. But if you look, I can give you the site if you'd like. It's pretty clear that that is what they're talking about. Now, under the common law, the offense of burglary was originally limited to include the breaking and entering of dwelling houses at night. And over time, various state legislatures began to expand the offense to include places that weren't dwellings. And under Colorado Statute Section 18-4-203, to be subject to burglary, the place entered into has to be either a building or an occupied structure. Here, the place allegedly unlawfully entered into was the fenced-in area attached to the Kuchar Electrical Building.
Council, looking at the statute, when it talks about building, it talks about capacity to contain property, doesn't it?
That's true. It does.
Wasn't there wire contained within that property?
There was wire contained within that property. The statutory definition, which is contained in 18-4-101-1, also goes on to say that a structure has the capacity to contain and is designed for the shelter of animals, man, or property, and includes a ship, a trailer, sleeping car, airplane, or other vehicle or place adapted for overnight accommodations, whether or not the person or animal is actually present or for carrying on a business therein.
Is it your view then that in order to be a building, it must both contain and shelter?
Yes, it is. I believe that is what the statute has, what the legislature has defined it as, and that is also what the Colorado Supreme Court has held. I think in the context of the case, there are a few parts of the definition that are particularly important. First of all, the record solely shows that the yard was used to store items and does not establish that business was in fact carried on therein. More importantly, in defining the term building, the legislature specifically included examples of things which constitute a building. For example, a ship, a trailer, a sleeping car, airplane, other vehicle, a place that is adapted for overnight accommodations. Now, all of these buildings afford humans, animals, or property shelter from the elements. And as is evident from the exhibits in the case, which show the wire covered in snow, the fencing surrounding the yard provided no such shelter. Third, the statutory definition holds that a building must be designed to provide shelter. Now, what does the term shelter mean? The Attorney General has pointed out that the dictionary definition of shelter is something that covers or affords protection, especially from the elements. The Colorado Supreme Court alit on that very factor when it discussed the definition of burglary under the burglary statute. In People v. Moyer, the Colorado Supreme Court held that a fenced enclosure was not designed for shelter where it afforded no protection, effective protection, against inclement weather and extreme temperatures. As is evident from the examples of buildings that the legislature included in its definition, a structure which provides shelter is not simply something that hides its contents from view. Rather, shelter is provided by a structure that protects its contents from the natural elements. Property such as copper wire, just
Excuse
like
me,
humans and animals.
Council, do you believe that in order to constitute burglary, there must be a roof on the area?
I believe that in the common understanding of the definition of building, that includes something that has walls and at least is partially roofed. I think that the Colorado Supreme Court has really emphasized that the crucial matter is whether or not this structure, this building, in fact, the building requirement is that it must protect from the elements. So I think that's the most important factor. But I do think that a common understanding of a building is something with a roof. And not only has the Colorado legislature or the Colorado Supreme Court so held, but so have other courts in other jurisdictions.
Council, let me take a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose there were a home being constructed and the roof is not out yet, but the frame is up. And someone went in at night and removed the tools from there. Would that not be a burglary under your definition?
I guess, at that point, you don't have anyone living in the building, so it's not a dwelling. Is it a building? I guess it would depend on the degree of completion of the building at that point and how much shelter it provided. It really would kind of come down, I think, to that. In this case, of course, the fence, as it was completely constructed, they had no apparent intention. There was no evidence that it was, being roofed at any point. They had simply built it to hide this copper wire and other materials from view and to store it. But I don't think that constitutes shelter under a common understanding of the term or under the relevant precedent.
Hiding is the word hiding would suggest a form of shelter, wouldn't it?
Well, hiding is one interpretation of shelter. But I think that if you look at the Colorado Supreme Court case and that is on point here, they say that really when you take shelter, you're taking shelter from the natural elements. In this case, the snow could come in, the dirt flew in, there's dirt all over the ground of this fenced-in area. The copper wire, just like other, like humans or animals, is, subject to damage and corrosion from inclement weather and from extreme temperatures. So I think the same standard applies here. I mean, buildings are designed to shelter property from such damage, and fences, such as the one in this case, are not designed to do so. They might be designed to deter intruders and provide privacy, but they do not provide shelter in the common understanding of the term. And not the legislature specifically stated that in order to be subject to burglary, the place must be a building or occupied structure. So if the people's position were correct and an open air space that's enclosed by a fence is a building, which is hard to wrap my head around anyway, then how do we distinguish between a building and a structure which must be occupied at the time of the unlawful entry? Because if the legislature, had intended for all spaces that are enclosed to exclude others to be subject to burglary, I would think they would have so stated, as they did, for example, in the trespass statute. I would then simply posit that the evidence presented at trial showed that someone broke into and stole items from a storage yard as opposed to a building or an occupied structure. And as noted in my brief, there is insufficient evidence to establish that Mr. Benzie was the individual who in fact entered the yard. But even if Mr. Benzie was the somehow connected with the taking of the items, there was insufficient evidence to show, first of all, that a building or an occupied structure was unlawfully entered. Secondly, that Mr. Benzie knowingly entered a building or an occupied structure, or that while doing so, Mr. Benzie had the requisite intent to commit a crime therein, meaning within a building or occupied structure.
Counsel, let me ask you, doesn't the record indicate that they found what the officers, the sheriffs believe were his footprints inside?
They found footprints were found outside in the main commercial yard, some distance from this inner yard where the copper wire had been stolen and was found open. And I don't believe that there is sufficient evidence to indicate that those footprints or shoe prints, should I say, actually belong to Mr. Benzie. They were a photograph was compared to the shoes he was wearing at the time, and there was no identifying characteristics. The officer did not compare the size of the footprints.
I'm again sorry to interrupt.
That's fine.
A question for the jury to look at the photograph and compare?
I believe they could, except for the fact that I don't think enough evidence was presented that the jury could even reach that issue. Because in other cases, it's been established that it's not sufficient. You can't just say, take a look at this photograph when no specific characteristics have been identified and the size hasn't been identified and other particular characteristics that would say that this shoe print actually belonged to this particular individual.
My understanding is that his truck was backed up toward the fence.
His truck was located in the yard. I don't believe that establishes entry in any way. The fact that there's a statement that was testified to by one of the officers that he stated that he had gone in search of a fuse because his truck broke down. I don't believe the fact that his truck was in the dirt parking lot establishes entry in any way, or that in fact he entered a building. So with that, I will reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
May it please the court. Alice Hosley, registration number 32195, on behalf of the people. First, I'd like to present the fact the issue is not as presented by opposing counsel. The issue is actually whether there was sufficient evidence for a reasonable juror to conclude beyond a reasonable doubt that the building from which Kuchar Electrical, where the spools of wire were removed, qualifies as a building despite the fact that it doesn't have a roof.
Are you suggesting then that the question whether a building exists or not varies from case to case?
I think that a building is defined by the statute, There are three elements that require, that meet the requirement, that are necessary to meet the requirements of a building. But I think the question before us is, was there sufficient evidence presented under each of these requirements in order for a reasonable juror to conclude that it was a building?
Well, for example, if someone broke into a chicken yard where the fence was designed to contain chickens, that a jury could determine that that fence was a building?
I think you would have to look again at the requirements of the statute. Was there sufficient evidence presented that it was first a structure? Was there sufficient evidence presented that it had the capacity to contain? And was there sufficient evidence for it to shelter man, animal, or property? This is a sufficiency of evidence claim. So the facts that were presented, the evidence that was presented at trial, my argument is there was sufficient evidence for a jury to conclude that all three of those elements were met.
And what was the evidence with respect to shelter?
Well, I think that is the crux of the issue here. I think that...
Well, yes, but what evidence are you relying upon to justify the jury's verdict on that issue?
Well, the statute requires that the building, the structure, be designed to shelter property. There's trial testimony that's exactly what this building was designed to do.
To shelter from what?
To shelter from, to protect, to shelter from being stolen. They've had numerous cases of theft on this property before. It was designed to remedy that situation. It was designed exactly for this copper spool wire. They didn't...
Well, there's no question but what if someone went there and stole something that you could successfully convict, presumably, of theft.
Correct.
The issue is, could you also successfully convict of burglary?
Well, and in this case, there was not a successful theft. So the burglary statute is what applies. And I do think that you can convict on the burglary statute because this building was designed for the purpose of sheltering, covering property.
Chicken fence would be the same thing, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, the case law actually suggests that if there's live, animate creatures being sheltered, that the elements, that it needs to be protected from the elements in a way that I'm proposing property would not require. The case on point is, that makes this point, is the People v. Moyer. And in that case, it was animals, dogs, at a shelter. In that case is, I think, similar to your hypothetical in that it is an open fenced enclosure, and the top had chicken wire with some plywood on top. The court said that was not sufficient to shelter animals. I would suggest that the statute doesn't require a building to be able to shelter man, animal, and property. It only need to be designed to shelter man, animal, or property. The requirements to shelter property do not meet the same requirements that would be necessary to shelter man or animal.
So your view then is that anything, if you will, that is designed to prevent property from being stolen constitutes a building for purposes of the burglary statute?
As long as it meets the other elements as well. It needs to be a structure, which we have been told by case law.
Well, let's assume we had a structure of the nature that here, but it enclosed 3 acres rather than 50 feet. Would that be a building?
If it is designed to shelter property, and it is effective in doing so in that it protects it from somebody seeing what's in it, seeing what is being stored, what is being covered and protected, absolutely it would be a building.
So any solid fence, irrespective of the area that was encompassed within it, if it were designed to prevent theft of objects that were inside, is a building under the burglary statute?
If it meets all three elements, has the capacity to contain, because some buildings are 3 acres as well. I mean, there are, it doesn't preclude it from being a building because it's 3 acres. If it meets all three elements, then yes, I think that's what the legislature has set out to protect under the burglary statute.
Okay.
So I've gone through the elements that are necessary under the statute, and I think that's what's important to keep in mind here, is that nothing within the statute requires a roof. The legislature, by all means, could have included that within the definition. And I think that the case People v. Sanchez from 1960, where it was a precursor to this definition, where the court was very clear in saying, we think that the intent of the legislature was not to require a building to have a roof and four walls. The intent was to give protection to something that contains man, animal, or property. This is almost identical to the language that has since been adopted. I think that is a huge indication to us interpreting the statute that if the legislature had wanted to require a roof, they certainly could have followed up on that.
But every example that the statute gives has a roof, right?
Well, the statute gives examples of things that could be considered a shelter, but I would submit that the legislature includes as an example of something that could be considered a shelter, a place adapted for carrying on of business therein. I would submit as well that this building is part of the commercial building, as you can access it from the main commercial building. Therefore, when they go on to carry on the business of selling or distributing copper wire, and the access between the two buildings is open, that would by all means qualify as carrying on the business of the company, which is selling these spools of wire in addition to other things as well.
I haven't compared the two statutes. Is trespass a lesser included of burglary?
No, it is not. So again, I think the important thing to do is not get caught up in what a common definition of building is. The definition of building has been defined by the statute for us. And the three elements that I've spoken of at length cover what is required to be a building. This is not an exercise where we have to decide what the common meaning is. We are told it needs to be a structure, it needs to have the capacity to contain, and it needs to be designed for the shelter of property. I would submit that the definition that opposing counsel has argued would essentially eviscerate the idea that a building can be designed to contain property. If we require a building to have the capacity to shelter man, animal, and property, that's a rewriting of the statute that I don't think was intended. Again, nothing in the statute requires a roof, not the definition of building. Shelter and cover have not been defined by the statute, and therefore we do look to the common definitions of those. Again, a roof is not required to effectively protect property for which the building has been designed to protect. Briefly, I'd just like to add that there was also sufficient evidence for a juror to conclude that Mr. Benzie did break and enter this building within Couture Electrical's property. First of which was, as mentioned, the boot print. The picture was taken, comparisons were made, both by the officers at the scene and by the jurors, and they concluded that it was not indistinguishable, that there was a match. I think that the fact that the jurors were able to make their own comparison, they're not relying upon testimony of somebody else making their comparison. They were allowed to do it themselves. Therefore, that evidence was presented to them. It was sufficient for them to make that determination, and they did so.
What was the evidence with respect to the gate or door? Did the evidence indicate that it was forced or?
Correct. It was not unlocked. It was unsecured. The lock was found within the inner.
How was it locked? Just a
regular. It was a T-bar mechanism.
Okay.
So all the parts had been disassembled, but not from a key. And it had been done from the inside as well. But the door between the buildings, between Couture Electrical and the building where the copper wires were being stored, was still secure. The other evidence, I think, supports the sufficiency claim that there was an actual breaking and entering, in addition to the boot print that had been determined to be a match, both by the officer and the jury. Mr. Benzie's car was backed up to the perimeter of the property, where just on the other side, the 22 spools of copper wire were found. They had previously been in a secured, locked building. His car hood was still warm to the touch when the officer arrived at the scene. Mr. Benzie's arrival at the scene was at the exact time that his truck was about to be towed. He had possession of tools necessary to complete the burglary on his person. There was a picket missing from the outer perimeter fence, which demonstrated access to the outer perimeter, which then gave access to the inner perimeter. It linked the connection and showed access from point A to point B to point C. Again, as you mentioned, the building had been unsecured, which the testimony at trial was that at the close of business, the previous day business, it had been secured. Finally, I would just like to mention that from all of these circumstances, it can be inferred that Mr. Benzie not only broke and entered, but it can also, his intent to commit the burglary within the building can also be inferred. Unless there are any other questions, I'd like to thank the court for its time.
First of all, I'd just like to point out that the people mentioned the case of Sanchez v. People, in which the court determined that a telephone booth, which had both walls and a roof, was clearly designed to shelter humans from the elements, that this was a building. I believe that's clearly distinguishable from the fence we're talking about in this case, which did not have a roof, was not designed to shelter humans, was designed perhaps to deter intruders and to hide from view copper wire, but certainly not to shelter it in a common understanding of the word. We're not.
My question. I'll ask a question about mm-hmm. 3 acres and a fence in here.
Sure. I do.
But isn't it true that this area also had a paved floor and that the walls were?
It's painted? Difficult to determine based on the exhibits because, but it appears that if there was paving, there was a lot of dirt on top of it because you can see imprints of footprints on the floor. So I'm not sure that it's quite clear. But even if it was paved, I don't think that would then establish the component of shelter, which is part of the statutory definition. I'm not trying to establish a brand new definition of building here. I don't believe it's in any way ambiguous. I mean, all words and phrases that are used in a statute should be understood and construed according to the approved and common usage of the language. And that's People v. JJH, 17 P3D159, Colorado, 2001. And I would suggest that the term is not, building is not commonly used to refer or describe an open space enclosed by a fence. So in addition, in terms of, I mean, a 3-acre area covered by a fence, clearly enclosed by a fence, clearly is not a building in the common understanding of the term. And to expand the statute in such a way is to create by analogy criminal a law that is not provided for under the criminal code. I mean, it's an ancient rule of statutory construction that penal statutes should be strictly construed against the government or parties seeking to enforce statutory penalties and in favor of the persons on whom penalties are supposed to be imposed. And if the court should hold that the term building is unclear and its scope could include a structure without a roof, I would argue that the court must nevertheless construe the statute in the defendant's favor under the rule of lenity.
Thank you, counsel.